Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week, putting the band back together. We're going to be down in Canton at Mama's on the Half Shell this week. I got a whole schedule here. We're going to be at El Guapo, and I'm wearing my green underneath my Raskin Global shirt today because I'm freezing in here. We're going to be at El Guapo next week on the 10th. We are at Costas back in Dundalk on the 18th, and then we take the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back downtown to the homestead of Fadley's down in Lexington Market. Those delicious crab cakes and some mac and cheese and all that, all are presented by the Maryland Lottery. We call these conversations wise conversations, and I had some wisdom over the weekend picking up some wise ice cream. Leonard Raskin and I at some point are going to get together at Pappas and go through the meaning of life and talk about things. But, you know, I want to talk to you about the war. I want to talk to you about the markets and, you know, nothing panics the market like a war. But let's start on the sunny side of the street, which is that you attended a University of Maryland basketball game, not just a basketball game, a game where I really thought Mouton was going to jump back out on the floor and start diving around a little bit. Pretty significant. I can't believe it's been 20 years, dude. I'm old, man.
It was crazy. You know, it's not nutty enough that we're old, but Steve Blake and Chris Wilcox and Lonnie Baxter are old. Those dudes are in their 40s.
Yeah, it happened quick, didn't it? I mean, I still think of them as being kids, right?
I know. You still see them hugging on the floor. Juan Dixon hugging Lonnie Baxter on the floor post-game is etched up here. Now, I got to tell you.
Were you at the game? Were you in Atlanta?
Yes, it was. At what game?
At the championship 20 years ago.
No. So, okay. here's a crazy story. The wife was due with the boy that spring. And we went if you remember, the first two rounds were at the then whatever it was, Verizon Center, MCI Center.
I was at those games.
Whatever phone company it was then, a 4-day weekend full of hoops. And we got tickets for the 4 days. Now, she was 7-ish months pregnant. So we also got a room at a hotel, caddy bump us to the arena there so that if she got tired, she could go hang out and take a nap.
And get some good Chinese food, too.
And hang out. And we ate and we hung out in D.C. for a couple of days. And it was extraordinary. So that was the 2 days of 4 games of basketball nonstop. It was great.
So my memories of that from 20 years ago were the pathway they were on. I was super busy, right? Like, I had just been syndicated. I'm running the company. I'm afternoon drive here. I'm all over the place. I went to Atlanta for the Saturday game.
Yeah,
I saw them beat Kansas. I was at the Georgia Dome. Down there. I did all of that. And opening day was here on Monday. And we had a live broadcast from Sliders with an ISDN line and like expenses and like Budweiser's involved.
Yeah.
And like, we had to like – so I flew home on Sunday from Atlanta, and I went to opening. That's how big the Orioles were.
Absolutely.
I didn't attend the national championship. Even I left the city because that's opening day was somehow more important, right?
So,
to put things in perspective of how stupid I feel, you know?
I get it. So we have this continuing conversation 20 years later that the boy was in utero, and she was due in May. Okay, May. So as the Terps roll down the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, and now one of the Final Four, I had opportunity to go. And I had tickets, everything, flight, you know, everything ready. I had opportunity to attend, to which she said, no, because he could come any minute. It was a month plus that she was due, but any minute. So I was forbidden to attend Georgia.
Well, if you had a special fund for a special jet, you know, if you had like the private jet service to get you back, maybe you could have talked her into that.
Yeah, but
that
wasn't
point.
Happening.
Well,
that
we all have a
going.
Story all these years later, and your story is you went down there on Sunday. I'll say this, Leonard. I'm out of the loop a little bit or whatever, but the Blast had a big reunion on Saturday that I really wasn't aware of because I would have called Kenny Cooper and had him on the show and hung out with him a little bit because I love him. And then the Terps did their thing. And then they actually, because it's so sleepy a season, they actually went out and played good ball too, right?
Oh, my goodness. So first of all, we went to the the celebration. It was really cool. They had Scott Van Pelt, ESPN, local Terp dude, who emceed a fantastic hour with
what
Jerry.
What was that? Tell me what that was, because I saw pictures from it, but I didn't know.
So in the gym under the Xfinity Center, bottom floor gym, they had all the players, Gary and what's his name?
Johnny Holiday.
No. Scott Van Pelt emceed. Two of the assistants were there. Two of the assistant coaches, and SVP did a great job. He literally touched every guy that was there about something special.
Was Billy
about
Hahn
that
there
year.
Then?
Billy Hahn. No, okay. Billy Hahn was not there. Who's the dude that's always on? Coach Loyola. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Patsos.
No, Jimmy Patsos was there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I got to text Jimmy then. All right.
So SVP touched every guy there, talked about something special from the season, whether it was how they were acting with the team, Chris Wilcox, how he became a starter, Juan Dixon and his ramping with Gary, everything. So it was excellent. The place was packed. It was at 2:30 on game day. And they fired everybody up. The place was packed. Gary got all emotional about the future of Terps basketball and how he wants things to get back to being championship. And it was fantastic. It was a great hour. Okay, so we go to the pregame hour. A little snacks, a little popcorn, little chips, a little open bar, not open bar, cash bar, and hang out for an hour. So the wife and I went down with some friends, hung out for an hour, watched this thing. And of course, the game was against the Buckeyes.
Right on.
So I'm in my Buckeye sweats.
Hold on. How much Maryland stuff do you have in your closet?
A bunch.
You've been a Maryland, like really big 40, Maryland fan.
I've been a Maryland fan since I can remember being a fan. Up until 2 years ago.
This is weird for you. Kind of like, yes, when I gave up the Oilers, kind of like that.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Terps forever up until 2 years ago. And now, today, I root for the Terps in every sport against everybody.
Why didn't your kid go to Maryland? Can I? This is a good time to ask you, because this is what you do for people. You get them so they can make money, have money, so their kid can go to the college that their kid wants to go to, as opposed to the one that maybe they want him to go to, whatever. Yeah. Right? Did your kid come close to going to Maryland or no?
No, he did not want to go to what he called 13th grade, because a lot of local, it's a lot of Maryland.
Right.
You know, Maryland, I don't know the data. Let's call it 80% in state, and he didn't want to stay in state. Plus, the boy wanted to spread his wings a bit, and right, I think get away from his parents a little bit. And Ohio State is a great school that's a little further away.
Did he watch one too many episodes on the Big Ten Network or something? What got him into the Ohio State thing?
He did not. It was all about the history program and the band.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's where he settled out. And so for the last 2 years, I've been an Ohio State fan. And yesterday I wore the Ohio State sweats, the Ohio State shirt, the Terrapin Vans.
Is there something about, like, when you do that, that you feel like, not just that your kid's there and you're sending them a big check every month or whatever, but that you feel like you have a better chance to win? You know what I mean? Like, especially football, right?
Yesterday I just couldn't lose. Couldn't lose. It was a great day. It was a great day of pregame. And then after an hour, SVP sent Gary and the team off to the locker room. So they did a jazz with the current team, and undoubtedly it worked, because they came out and smoked the Buckeyes. I mean, from the first tip, they were playing better. They were rebounding harder. They were playing harder.
How many people were there?
That's a sad thing. That place, I would say three quarters, maybe full, maybe.
It is amazing.
Even the student sections around the court were not full, which is to me was tragic.
You know, it's amazing. Really, like, as a kid, you and me with the 79 Orioles, right? And when the Colts left town, you and I were of a tender age. Do you remember the Earl Weaver goodbye in 82 and riding around the Jim Palmer goodbye, sent to Barbara Streisand and the way we were, no doubt done by Charles Steinberg. And like, I remember those sort of emotional goodbyes and Memorial Stadium going away. Unbelievable, right? The Ravens have won twice now. For whatever reason, our fan base thinks they can kick Joe Flacco to the curb. You know what I mean? Like, to some degree that he doesn't have a statue here or whatever after having done what he did. But the fact that we've won twice, we have these heroes and Ray Lewis and John Ogden and Ed Reed and all the famed players and like all that stuff. But like, the reunions are never like everybody's got to get in their seat to love Tony Siragusa or to love up Trent Dilfer or Brian or any of that when it comes to football.
This was just bizarre. This was just bizarre. The pregame hour, the reunion was packed. I mean, it was standing room. It was awesome. But then all those people came to the game. I think they're the only ones that were there. I mean, there are empty seats in the student section, which is staggering. I mean, if I'm
because your dad's college, paying for it.
If I'm going to University of Maryland, I'm going to every game. I'm a lunatic. And then the bowl was, other than the students, you know, up that wall where they built the wall of students behind.
Right. Yeah.
That's packed. Packed. But around the stadium, around the arena, there was just.
Give me your arc as a Maryland fan, because you mentioned that like you wanted to go to the national championship.
Yeah,
you dragged your poor pregnant wife down to D.C. for the early round games and made a 3-day thing. Okay, so that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You make a baby. You make a little band leader. He's going to be Dan Fogelberg, be the leader of the band, go off to Ohio State. But over the last 20 years, is this something where you went to 3 games a year? You went to Clemson and Wake Forest and Carolina or Duke or whatever, and then the Big Ten happened, and then you bought less tickets. Because I can give you my arc, dude. My arc with the new arena and the new Terps is not good. And no, I coached a kid that went on to become their assistant coach in Beano, you know, and how far away College Park has started to feel to me over the last 20 years, how I was shat upon by their media relations people, how I never really met Turgeon. I never got into it. But I went down to games with Luke. I mean, we went to 5-6 games a year for 5 or 6 years or in and around the time my wife had cancer. I left my wife's illness. I left her hospital bed to go to Maryland Big Ten games once the transition happened. I don't think I didn't go to a lot of late Gary games. Like the end of Gary, I stopped going.
You know? What's interesting? You talk about that. They talked about, and I know you remember this as clear as day, the Duke loss on Super Bowl Saturday night.
Oh yeah. I was in Tampa.
I remember I was there with you.
I was watching that game with Tommy Shaw of Styx.
There you go.
In the lobby of the Hyatt in downtown
the hotel.
Tampa. Yeah. I was with Stacy Keebler, believe it or not, who was my intern and who had become Miss Hancock. So yes, I remember exactly where I was that night.
Yeah, you and me.
That was a room full of very, very disappointed Ravens fans.
And my worst thought was that it was just going to transpire the next day, the same result.
Then I said,
well, you know what? Since the Terps lost, the Ravens are going to kick the Giants' butt. But they talked about that, and they talked about coming back from that and how great, you know, what a big motivator that was and how they just torched everybody. I would go a game or two here or there, you know, back in Cole. I wasn't a big attendee. I wasn't a big attendee because, again, I'm not an alum.
Right.
So it was because there was no sports at University of Baltimore, my alma mater. So Maryland State School, that was it. So I would go to a game or two here or there.
But you were never like a sponsor or courtside.
No.
Interested in going down 10 times a year.
Just an interest because I loved the sport. Loved watching college basketball. I mean,
it's a great consumption thing on TV. The ACC,
yeah, absolutely.
All those years, if you watch the games at Cameron or watch the games
back
at the Dean Dome,
in the Buck Williams, Albert King days, and that was in the early 80s, and then on to the championship teams. The championship team was fantastic in 02, And then I kept watching. You know, I'm a college hoops fan. So they played a great next 2 years. They just didn't hit it. And then they started to fall off. But enjoy the sport, enjoy the school, love watching some of the players. And Gary talked about them getting back to championship level, championship form. And it was really cool. And then after the hour was done, they sent them off to the locker room. And again, they obviously, Gary gave them a pep talk and they met with the players, with the this year's players, and they came out and stomped. Ohio State was not on form. And when they were on form, the defense of Maryland yesterday, if they played as well as they played against Ohio State, they'd be top of the Big Ten instead of bottom of the Big Ten.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I got the shirt on. I kind of got like a Jim Zorn thing going on with the green and blue. I kind of like it though. I kind of like it. But my other blue one, it's in the wash. So I'm trying to get that out. But Leonard's here. He's Raskin
Global. Going with the Duke blue today.
Come on now. I only have one story about the new arena because I went to 50 or 60 games. I went to 5 games a year for 10 years or whatever, sitting courtside when the media, they put us behind the basket. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I mean, I went down there to the Tom Izzo games and like all that, right? Yeah. I took my wife one time to a Maryland game. And this is in 2004. We had just gotten married, okay? It was an infamous game. They had just built the arena. It was the first time I went to the arena, I think. I'm pretty sure it was the first time I was in the arena. It was the FUJJ game, the JJ Redick game. And I had my friend's Steve Lucas seats up in the corner. And my wife literally, the crowd's doing FUJJ, all this terrible stuff. Gary's telling them don't do it, all that. They're beating up the Washington Post. You suck. Right. All that, right? So all that's going on. My wife's like, he's asleep at the Duke Maryland game. So Leonard, it's been a rough week, right? I would say markets, especially if you're invested in rubles, you know, if you bought rubles, probably a bad idea. Let's talk about war. I mean, I know it's not, you know, something, let's not talk about the tactical part of it or wins and losses and all that.
Sure.
But when this Thursday morning, my accountant who also does business with me and helps me run the radio station and does things, I mean, it was a code red sort of Thursday morning because his clients were a code red. I'm sure, you know, across Raskin Global and anyone that manages money at all in any place has some grave concerns about all of this and nuclear this and let's talk about it. What's your life been like this week?
So from a monetary standpoint and investment standpoint, I will tell you, in fact, our phone has not rang one time. We have not gotten a single email. We sent out a blast on Thursday, another on Friday. And it's very simple. Two things. A, you can't control what you can't control. What you can control is your emotions and your reaction to it. From a portfolio standpoint, our clients are not invested for this weekend, next weekend, this year, or next year, or they shouldn't be invested, quote unquote, in the market. Your investments are for the rest of your life. Every portfolio we construct for our clients takes into account anything that can happen. We're talking about war, inflation, high interest rates, low interest rates. You name the event, it's built into the portfolio structure. And critically, if things change significantly in the conditions around you as a result of what's going on, all that means is you rebalance the portfolio back to its intended allocation and move on. So your portfolio is 50-50, equity, fixed income, stock, bond. And the market takes a drop, 10, 20, 40%, just like it did March of 2020 because of COVID. So this goes down. And now your bonds are higher, sitting, holding value, and your stocks got decimated, quote unquote. It's time to take the fixed income, buy the equities, bring the portfolio back to equilibrium at 50-50 and go. And nobody knows when it will recover, but markets recover. Markets are based on 7 billion people on this planet buying and selling and making purchasing decisions for companies that create products, that create profit, that create wealth for people. And they don't do that without investors. So investors owning a piece of those companies means they make money, you make money. Now, if you're picking individual stocks or individual markets around the world, and it goes down and you panic and you sell, you do what most people do, which is buy high, sell low, lose wealth.
Was there ever a time where people thought the Russian market was a good market to be in, that buying rubles would be?
I hope not. I hope not. We have yet $0 of our clients' money in Russia. Why? Because our clients' money, albeit in 60 countries around the world, is only in countries where they have stable governments, rule of law, property rights, and qualified accounting to say that these companies' books are real. And Russia has none of the above. So we have $0 invested in Russian companies. So the idea is you spread your wealth around the world. You watch what occurs. You don't react to what occurs, except to know that, yes, this happens. Yes, the market can drop 1,000 points in a day. It can also rise 1,000 points in a day. We ended last week positive in the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, all positive after devastating days. Who knows what happens this week, next week, next month? It doesn't matter. What matters is if you are an investor, that your money's invested for a purpose, your kids' tuitions, your future retirement, your health care for the rest of your life, to buy another house, whatever it may be, you stay invested, you stay the course, and you move forward. I had one email this weekend, had nothing to do with the market, but a gentleman said to me, we're thinking about buying a house in about a year and a half. Where should we be putting money? Should we be doing anything in particular to get ready for that? And I said, you should be putting as much money as you can in a bank account. And he said, it's paying nothing. And I said, it's better to have 100% certainty that the money is there than worry about it in the case of buying a house. And for all of our clients, it's better to have 95% certainty that you will achieve a great result than a 50-50 shot that you may get lucky. You know, we have people in the past calling us about Bitcoin. It was 60,000 of Bitcoin. Now it's 37,000 of Bitcoin.
By the way, can I ask you this? Because Leonard Raskin is here, and I only have a few more minutes with you because you're taking me into a rabbit hole on this, and we can talk about, you know, the war and politics. We talk Ravens. We can do all that next week.
Sure.
I spent 2 weeks out in L.A. Everything I saw was crypto. Everything out there is crypto, NFT, which is like, like, digital autographs. I mean, I don't know how
ridiculous.
To. Okay, so tell me, like, LA feels like it's getting built on this scam to some degree, right?
Yes. So lots of places are, and it's just that. I won't call it a scam. That's too far for me to say, but let's realize that the art world has done this for years, and this new NFT thing, crypto thing, it's all it's built on nothing.
What do you mean the art world? Like having a painting that's worth something because it's built, it's painted by the great Raskin or
because it's painted by the great Biden. We won't go to that one, but other real paintings, real art, what's there? The only reason art has value is because somebody likes it and pays for it. I don't care what they say. And you and I can look at that piece of art and think it's garbage or think it's amazing, but the only way it has value for the person who bought it is if somebody else likes it as much as they do. And
you gave me this Raskin Global shirt. If it becomes an antique, that's an old David Bowie tour shirt, it might be worth $300 one day, but right now it's probably worth, $550 or whatever, right?
Exactly. Like, and, right? And so art becomes worth something because somebody else thinks it's worth more. And crypto is the same way. I saw a commercial this past weekend, blew me away. It's a new crypto IRA place. You can put $10 and have a crypto IRA. Fantastic. Well, you know what? They said there's, I don't know the number, 200 crypto coins you can buy in your IRA. I wouldn't buy one of them. They don't make anything. They don't do anything. They have no real value. It's not even gold. I mean, gold is not a great investment, but at least it's used in industry and jewelry. Crypto is nothing but air. Somebody makes up a coin, calls it crypto, puts it on the computer, and gets other people to believe it's worth something. It's air. You're buying air in a bag. It's
amazing because, like, you're, you know, among the more astute people I've ever met when it comes to money. And this, and you have been very, very absolute about it. And it is, and most people I know who know things about money are absolute about it. And then there are people out there that swear they're a genius. And I'm telling you, out in LA, they're building a whole city around it. It's
amazing.
They
might be. They might be. But I remember back in the day, I think it was 1999-ish. We had PSI Net Stadium.
Ah, ha, ha. I remember that.
And somehow PSI Net is not.
I brought that up with Augie Chiesera 2 weeks ago when I had him on from M&T Bank. I said, I remember when it was called PSI Net. I remember that.
That's right. And lots of PSI Net and the like companies never made a nickel. And they had no profitability. And they somehow became worth billions. And then they were worth nothing. And I don't know, crypto coin, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, your friend.
I never heard of that one. That's a new one. Yeah,
there's lots of coins out there. Somebody put a dog on the computer and made it the face of a dog, and they called it Doge, D-O-G-E,
okay,
coin. Another thing people are trying to invest in and make real. There's all these different things, and they may be the future. It may be that the world decides that central government currency isn't a good thing, and these crypto illusory value things have value.
Yeah, I look at it much like bobbleheads I had around here, that somebody
That's
may
right.
give me $5 for one, somebody may give me $20 for one, some are going to sit here forever. It's like sports collectibles are like that, you know?
That's
you
right.
You got a Brett Favre autograph. Good for you. You know, maybe you'll get $10 for it somewhere.
Hey,
Cal
Ripken, God bless him, made his autograph worthless.
Well, then there's the authentication.
But he made his worthless by signing
so
million
much.
Of them.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
His signature will never be worth anything because of him, because he signed every kid for hours and hours every day. But some people don't. And so their signature is worth $1.50 instead of 50 cents.
Leonard Raskin is here trying to set us straight on money and on the markets. And I tell you what, we'll go through football next week, all right? Because we've talked about Lamar's contract and the baseball lockout situation and how much money it's cost them. I know you got an event coming up, but tell everybody about your event happening.
Wednesday night, 6:30, webinar on your money, to your wealth, it's called. And this Wednesday, we'll be talking about inflation and how to invest through inflation, the impact it has on your investments, interest rate hikes, what they mean, what the government's doing, and how this all impacts your future. Whether you are, this is for anybody working, retired, or near retirement.
Well, Leonard, I will see you this week. I will see you again next week. The webinar's Wednesday. Go to RaskinGlobal.com to learn all about it. And obviously, you know, with the world a little bit of turmoil right now, it's nice to have a little calm, steadying influence, kind of like Gary Williams was for the Terps on Sunday, right?
There you go. You brought him in.
Leonard Raskin, he once was a Terp. Now he a Buckeye. He's probably always a Terp, although I don't know. The Bills are adding up grad school, all sorts of things going on. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Having a wise conversation to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery this week, making me hungry for a Pappas Crab Cake.